The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Welcome to the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. This is episode 19 of season 4, our 19th episode in 2024, and I'm Marty Gold. We have had a tremendous reaction all through the first 2 months of this year to this new season. And I want to thank all of you listeners. You're sharing the links to the podcasts. You're going to actionline.ca to look into not only the most recent podcast, but some of our more historic podcasts and articles, and it's all appreciated. This is, of course, all happening during the course of our fundraising drive through to April the 1st. I invite you to go to our donate page. It's been redesigned. Makes it easier than ever to click on the links because they're pushed up to the top of the page. And you can support us through Interact, through PayPal, or you can get a hold of me personally, martygoldlive@gmail.com. We still accept checks around here as well as other forms of support. And we look forward to seeing and meeting with you every time that I get a gesture of support. I make sure to personally thank the individuals involved and also obviously find out what they like about the podcast, what topics they want us to cover, which ones they want us to dig more into. And that's why we're here. You know, a listener made a comment last week, is online but offline in the background, is a personal commentary in a group chat. And they made a remark that I think is very telling. It's about the situation in general when it comes to media. What they said was, life was so much simpler when all you had was legacy media and they could curate news and you really only got one opinion. Thinking was optional. A lot of the world's messiest situations were wrapped up in a nice, neat package. And that's true. There's a lot of mess out there, but you don't really hear about all kinds of elements of it. Because the media picks and chooses what will fit with their narrative, what messaging their newsroom puts out with regards to social issues, with regards to even labor issues. Like, imagine, you know, I keep pumping out stories nobody else has. And these are important stories. And I did get a comment back from one listener last week whose interest generally is in civics. They said, I can't believe how nobody else reports on these things that you do. Or when they report on it, it's completely different. In the case of our most recent podcast about Bell, the giant company, and in particular their intentions for one of the crown jewels of Manitoba's holdings as Crown Corporation's Manitoba telephone system, there was an awful lot of feedback because people know people. And as I mentioned earlier, on the previous podcast, we get these tips because we're here, because people don't trust the mainstream media. Why hasn't any of the rest of the media picked up that Bell is looking to whack away at jobs in Manitoba, but that there's an obstacle? We ran the notification from the National Union. Is the reluctance of the media newsrooms to report on this because they would then, in some cases, have to report on their own news, on their own union, rather, that covers their newsroom members on uniform? I don't have a good explanation, but I'm glad that I am at this point the only source of information, because I have even more, because as the saying goes, everybody knows something. One of our listeners, following up on the MTS story that we ran last week, Bell MTS, a hot mess as layoffs loom. One listener sending us a comment, that's why I took the package that was offered 5 years ago, got accepted. They kept asking me to stay longer than my original release date after 3 months of extensions. I said, that's it. And left in December 2019. I saw the changes for the worse that Bell was making. I loved my job and the people, but not the new company. Bell wrecked MTS and continues to do so. Another listener advancing that argument about how MTS is being wrecked by Bell sent me a note saying my understanding is that they're looking at layoffs in Brandon and sent me a copy of a union notice of a meeting that was slated literally for, as I record this, on Monday afternoon. Again, from Jackie, I believe the pronunciation is Pryne, P-R-Y-N-N-E, the president of Unifor Local 7. We quoted her previous memo from her in the last podcast, and here it is again. I want to acknowledge the devastating announcement made by Bell to migrate your work from Brandon to Winnipeg. I can only imagine the impact this will bring to you and your families. Jackie going out with the national representative, Chris Santos, on Monday to Brandon to meet with the employees for a meeting that was going to run depending on what time the employee shift is, either 12 or 1 o'clock, for a meeting in the boardroom. Unifor going out to Brandon because MTS, Bell MTS, has announced a plan to migrate jobs from Brandon to Winnipeg. Really? Well, our original tipster, coincidentally, sent us what they happen to know about what's going on in Brandon, which makes no sense because of a lot of the circumstances on the ground. Here's what they sent along. I forgot to mention in my previous email to you that Bell MTS does have a Brandon call center where there's approximately 30 employees. Those employees got pulled into a meeting last week. Bell is giving the employees in Brandon, they wrote, the option to work out of the Winnipeg center and keep their jobs. Bell would reimburse them for moving expenses up to a certain amount. The other option is they continue to work out of the Brandon center until July the 1st. Canada Day. Can you imagine you can work all the way to Canada Day, but then you won't have a job? Now, shutting down the Brandon call center on July the 1st, you can't even think of something more repulsive, more repugnant when it comes to corporate behavior. But let's take a look at the details. And what does this mean on the ground? Let's say that you're one of these employees in Brandon. You could have been working there for quite some period of time, and it could be that you want a buyout. We discussed that in the last podcast. And I've got more information. I won't be getting into it today. We're going to end up having at least one more and probably two more parts because I've gotten now lots more background information from different sources about the kinds of positions, kinds of employees that can or can't get buyouts and why the workforce is so demoralized. But let's focus on Brandon. You're established in Brandon. You have a house and a mortgage. You've got a partner, a wife, spouse. And they work in Brandon and they're settled into their job too. Your kids are settled into school. Does anyone in their right mind think that any of these employees are going to drop everything and move to Winnipeg? The higher cost of housing, the high crime rate, have the kids adjust to a new school. That means that, well, you'll have a job going into one of the facilities here in Winnipeg. Your spouse, in all likelihood, would have to try to find a new job in this market. Unless, of course, they have a job where they could relocate to Winnipeg. I think the chances are, you know, two and Slim just left town. This is ridiculous, but as our tipster put it, just another way to cut jobs. And that's not all. This isn't as cut and dry as it looks. With regards to the buyouts, Bell had sent out an email to all the employees of the Unifor Local 7 bargaining unit, and they made mention of two specific positions that they're targeting for buyouts for sure. Now, if you apply for a buyout, there's no guarantee you're going to get approved. But to our tipster, actually to two of our tipsters, come to think of it, they thought that this was indirectly but specifically targeting the Brandon employees, though directly saying we're targeting Brandon employees. Since they said, well, they're shutting down on July the 1st. One source saying, I bet you any of the Brandon employees are going to apply for the buyout will get approved. The due date for the company to get the buyout application is March 22nd, and it's irrevocable. In other words, if you apply for a buyout and then decide You know what? Maybe we will do the move to Winnipeg, be closer to my grandparents, something like that. Well, you can't do that. So these employees right now, basically 3.5 weeks where they're putting employees in a position of making a life-altering decision. Now, the Nortel employees, the contracted employees I discussed in the podcast on February 23rd, those are all, you know, remote work-from-home positions. They aren't anywhere in Manitoba, these Nortel employees, evidently. They're all over the world. But Bell hates work-from-home, even though there's a ton of jobs that can be done remotely. Now, this is interesting because as one source has indicated to me, during the pandemic, Bell had no idea how to manage things. And it took a ton of effort to convince people, don't come to the office, work from your house. People bought into it and were happy with it, because they had a little bit of life balance, less stress, didn't lose their job. They embraced working from home. Then something changed, and Bell MTS said, no, come back to work, which I would guess in Winnipeg is because the buildings are downtown, part of the push to move people right back into the downtown area to create that critical mass that you need for the success of other businesses. So work from home now with MTS is evidently very rare, unless, of course, you work for one of these contracted companies, and I'll have more about them in the near future. But this isn't as cut and dried as it looks, that they're going to amalgamate employees in one of the half-empty buildings in Winnipeg, and that somehow that makes some sort of sense. For one thing, this establishes a precedent, doesn't it? Migrate your job from Brandon to Winnipeg. What happens if they want to migrate your job from Winnipeg to Toronto? Fat luck. Trying to find is fat luck a term? I just invented it. Fat chance. Finding an affordable home anywhere within a 2-hour drive of your job in Toronto if they try to transfer you, say, there. See where this leads? But there's a real strange anomaly in this, because Bell owns the building in Brandon. They own that building, and it's what the company calls a central office. I referenced again the previous podcast about the building on Cordon, kitty corner from Daily Burger, across from where the Scotiabank used to be, and how as a cab driver we used to take the midnight shift home, the telephone operators. That's a central office, and they can't move that equipment out with the snap of a finger. You're not just sending in the, you know, two guys with a truck. And there's also employees in a management unit of Bell MTS that are part of a union called Team, who are apparently still going to be working in that building after July the 1st. They're not evacuating the building. Now, it could be that the Bell MTS employees who are in the management unit, Are they going to be supporting the telephone infrastructure that's in the building? Could be. But what's the big deal of keeping the employees who are part of the Unifor Local 7 bargaining unit there if you're going to have employees there anyways? Why have vacant floors? Now, there are limitations with that building in Brandon. Nobody can work alone or late at night, I guess, because the location or maybe some of the physical characteristics of the building. But this still makes no sense. Unless, of course, they found a way. Bell, the mega corporation, found a way to work around some of the obstacles that was cited in the, as described in the union memo, in terms of buyouts and how that relates to contracted positions having to also get whacked. Bell's found a way to get around some of the obstacles when it comes to getting rid of the loyal Bell MTS employees in Brandon. Nordy employees can work from home, but Bell MTS Brandon employees aren't even given the option at all. They don't mind when their contracted out workers working all over the world work from home. But God forbid a local employee works from home for Bell MTS. That's not just in Brandon. It's in Winnipeg too. It's disgusting. It's repulsive. It's repugnant. And I'm going to have more details in a future podcast behind the curtain a little bit of the union contract, collective bargaining agreement, some of the minutia about how layoffs can and can't work. But suffice to say, again, not my words. I'll go back to one of our sources. Even though working from home during the pandemic meant people kept their jobs, how about the fact employees opened their homes to Bell so the business could continue to operate? Bell is extremely toxic. People are miserable. I'm listening. I'm going to keep reporting on the facts, and we'll have more about Bell MTS coming up in a subsequent podcast in the next week or so. Back to wrap up episode 19, right after this short break from our sponsors.
This episode of The Great Canadian Talk Show is sponsored by PKP Renovations and Repairs. We take pride in the neighborhoods we work in, serving the North End, West Kildonan, and the Maples Garden City area for over 20 years. Call 204-297-5446 or email us at info@pkprenovations.com. We help make sure Winnipeg has good homes for good people.
Because of you, The Great Canadian Talk Show has made headlines for over 15 years and forced important issues to be acknowledged and dealt with.
The problem here is that they want everything their own way in every situation. It's unpalatable to the general public, but they're frozen out by the process.
There are no subsidies for paying the bills for keeping the government honest.
They just see money. Of course, it's your tax dollars, but it's being spent on their pet projects.
We're on your side.
A lot of these people in special interest groups, they don't bear any relationship to your life out there. They don't have any handle on what your reality is in your neighborhood.
Support old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters.
The best source of information is not the city councilor. It is this program and you listeners.
Support TGCTS today.
And they're saying the judge got it wrong, everyone got it wrong, everyone is wrong, but the city of Winnipeg.
Thanks for staying with us. I know that I've promised a sort of an omnibus episode touching on a lot of the other topics, including City Hall, the budget, mailbag, the response we've gotten from you listeners with regards to a number of the most recent podcasts. I can tell you that one earlier in the month about the sort of second part of our interview with Councillor Ross Eady about transit safety and City Hall safety, the demands made by some councillors feeling that that they're entitled to measures that simply aren't available to the rest of us waiting for the bus or walking to or from our job or wandering around downtown looking for a good time. If you can find anything that's good downtown, and maybe pretty soon you won't even be able to find the Jets there. That episode, Councillor Eady, has crept into our top 10. So that shows that the interview episodes are very popular. And the topics of public safety, always top of mind with the audience, the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast, and with those who are followers of actionline.ca. I will be doing that. It's been pushed back because of the flood of information about Bell MTS and following on the heels of the Bell Media layoffs, the sale of the radio stations, the demolition of the noon newscasts and weekend newscasts on CTV. Bell's behavior reinforces, what I do as having some importance, independent coverage, and filling that gap. That ties back into our fundraising drive right now, where our target is $3,800. And I encourage you all to go to the donate page on actionline.ca and share it with your friends. We lay out a value proposition there where you'll see lower down on the page different categories interviews with crime victims, for instance, with links to those episodes. And I stack up the work that I have been putting out on these podcasts against any radio in Winnipeg, period. When was the last time somebody said, oh, did you hear what was on CBC or CJOB, really, the talk stations, right? That don't think you're ever going to have. And I, he's, in the past, he was a supporter of us on radio, but pretty rare, you know, somebody's going to say, hey, did you hear what Ace Burpee talked about this morning? And I'm not saying that with any disrespect to Ace Burpee. He's not in the talk game. But in terms of the talk stations, when was the last time, like in the old days, where somebody would say, did you hear what Peter Warren did this morning? He asked so-and-so, have you made the beds yet, madam? Or some more serious topic. Or CBC, Information Radio, Bill Guest. You don't hear anybody talk about what they heard on radio anymore. Now, part of it is because they don't listen to radio anymore, the terrestrial radio. But the other thing is, they're not being given anything to talk about. There's nothing generating beyond, you know, chit-chat, small talk at the water cooler. There's nothing generating headlines or news. Like, they aren't in the business of attracting audience. They aren't in the business of actually giving you information beyond news, sports, and weather. I am. You're not going to hear about this union stuff going on with Bell MTS anywhere else. We've proven it already. Similar to how you don't hear about what's gone on with the free press, still to this day, desperately trying to regain the trust of the Jewish community because of the antics of columnists like Jen Zarate what's the other guy? John Longstaff, right? You don't hear that reported anywhere. Councillor Edie's comments about City Hall safety, somewhat contradictory, a little more measured his remarks than those of his colleagues. He didn't get any press whatsoever. The behind-the-scenes details of the murder outside the Cork and Flame. We were the first to report about the defibrillator not working, about the ambulance delay. With words from the Voyakis family. Words spoken at the outdoor vigil. You didn't hear those important details, that important information anywhere else, but on the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. And whether it's us talking and keeping an eye on people that are in the public eye, like Dr. Joss Reimer, the head of the WHA, and all her wacky ideas, instead of spending her time doing her actual job, making sure that we don't have 24-hour wait times at emergency rooms, or Councillor Matt Allard, who's hopped onto the Save the Pool at Happyland Park train, but has otherwise been largely neglecting the neighborhood from the St. Boniface Hospital down to Archibald, because that's not the neighborhood that gets him elected. So he's kind of punted those of us in this area to the, you know, over to the tracks, except with the concept that the city budget has of closing outdoor pools, Windsor Park, St. Boniface immediately rising up, and Allard deciding to ride that wave. Again, you don't hear that kind of analysis anywhere about public figures like Dr. Joss Reimer, like City Councillor Matt Allard. And you don't hear about anti-Semitism in Winnipeg, whether it's on the university campuses, in the high schools, or out in the community, where increasingly we're finding vile, hateful, provocative graffiti and other signs of public disorder. You don't hear anything about it. That's why it's important to support this platform. That's why it's important that I carry on this work between elections, basically. Covering elections is a sort of bread and butter, but in between elections, there's things going on in your city, things going on in your province, things going on in your neighborhood, things going on with public safety, things going on with groups, organizations, federal government today. Apparently, they want to give a life sentence to somebody for hate speech. Amazing. Picked and up for parole, hate speech, life sentence. The Trudeau way of doing things, I guess. We stand for you. We stand for your community. We stand for your value, your family, your values. We stand for your business. We stand for what we think is what's right. And bring forward opinions, perspectives, ideas that are not heard in the mainstream media in Winnipeg. While the free press struggles with the Jewish community, I am a voice for the Jewish community. While the CBC struggles to maintain any credibility at all when it comes to reporting on various issues, I've maintained a very strong credibility with my audience for putting newsmakers on the spot, for exposing wrongdoing, for making sure that your voice is heard. So again, I ask, support this fundraising drive. Whether it's $10, $20, $50, $100, we have got donations in the past in the, you know, ranging through $200, $300, $500. Those donations, those contributions, that support make sure that I can stay on the job full time. This Bell MTS, just to give you an example, the Bell MTS material that's come in, this easily been a day and a half of work to organize the material, to study it, to figure out what can be put out now, what I'll put out later, get verification on some of the details. I haven't even reached out to Unifor yet. And I made sure, honestly, not to release this before their meeting in Brandon, because I didn't want any distractions for those people trying to decide their futures, their family's futures, in that discussion with the union representatives, the Unifor representatives in Brandon. With your support, this work will continue, and it will continue to grow. The audience is growing. If you want to join our email list, and the email list is important because I will send out not just the podcast with the full episode description. That way you can send it along to, you know, other people you know, your family, people that you work with, for instance, where you can share this information and make sure that it gets broader circulation, but also the Action Line articles, because people get notifications if they're subscribed through Spotify or whatever. You get notifications of the podcast, not necessarily of the articles on Action Line, which are found under the blog tab on the far right. I will send, by and large, those articles out. So whether you want to share something about Bell MTS, or you want to share something about my memories and the audio I had of Kenny Plain and Angela Mosca upon Kenny's passing away, or the story about David Irving, one of the most famous Holocaust deniers who came to Winnipeg in 1986, and I had the audio, and you hear the things, kinds of disgusting things he said, repeated now by various cheerleaders for Hamas. This is all unique content. It's all content you're not going to hear anywhere else. And it comes forward. It is able to be brought to light and brought out into the marketplace of ideas, the marketplace of citizen journalism, the marketplace of reporting, the marketplace of information and analysis. It's made possible because of you. I'm asking again for your support. $3,800 isn't a big hill to climb. And so you can go to the donate page on actionline.ca or email me directly your story tips, interact, any other questions, martygoldlive@gmail.com. And I will get you an answer, or I will gladly accept your contribution and thank you, whatever the case may be. There'll be more from the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast, not just about Unifor. That'll be probably about 2-3 episodes down the line, because there's a lot of material I have to go through to really understand what goes on behind the scenes with the collective bargaining agreement. And I want to look more into this management union as well, and find out what's going on with them. But we'll be back. We'll be back with more from City Hall, more from the provincial government. And oh, yes, as somebody who in their teenage years, my family had season's tickets for the Winnipeg Jets, version one. And I got a lot of feedback off of our Facebook page, which you're welcome to come and join on Facebook, about the plea for support coming from the Chipman family for the Jets. A lot of reaction to that. Most of it not very complimentary to how the team treated fans when they were living high off the hog, and there were no tickets to in the market to give away whatsoever. Now the shoe's on the other foot,
and people aren't really buying it. I am pretty sure I'll be dedicating an episode to the future of the Jets in downtown Winnipeg. The biggest reason cited by people why they're failing, two reasons. One, the alienation of the fans during the pandemic restrictions. Number two, people don't want to go downtown to get their car windows busted or to get jacked going to or coming home from the game. I'll be looking at all those factors in upcoming podcasts, as well as covering the stories that you bring forward to me, just like this Unifor story about what's going on with Bell MTS and the workers there. I'm here for you. You have the power. Back with more later this week. Thank you for listening.
Continuing the tradition of investigative journalism in Winnipeg.
And one Winnipeg woman is reported satisfactory in hospital after lightning struck her home.
Let's get right down to business.
Actionline.ca.
All set to entertain, to inform, to serve Winnipeg.
With the Great Canadian Talk Show.
Whether it's CTV, CBC, Global, you cannot count on them for truth, and you cannot count on them to uphold the values that you have.
He's the guy who put the M in Nemo and C in controversy.
With the one and only
Red Alex.
Manny Bazunas.
Wrong! Cliff Gardner.
That's not it, that's not it.
Hunky Bill. Boyd Kozak.
That's not right.
Marty Gold.
Take a long walk off a short pier.
Thanks for listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com or follow him on Twitter @tgcts.